Welcome to St. James Bible Bites. This podcast was recorded live and includes readings from Psalms and the Old and New Testament, as well as a reflection from our vicar, the Reverend Fabian Wirtz. We meet each Monday and Thursday at 9:15 on Zoom, and we invite you to join us. Simply sign in to Zoom using the number 856-0112-7207, and the password is 22 4466. You can sit back and listen or take part. Either way, we would love your company. Our readings today are taken from Jeremiah 7 verses 21 to the end and John 6 verses 41 to 51. The reflection is by the Reverend Fabian Wirtz, entitled I Am the Bread of Life.
Amen. So our first reading is taken from the prophet of Jeremiah.
Starting at verse 21 till the end. Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, add your burnt offerings to your sacrifices and eat the flesh. For on the day that I brought your ancestors out of the land of Egypt, I did not speak to them or command them concerning burnt offerings and sacrifices, but this command I gave them: obey my voice, and I will be your God, and you shall be my people. And walk only in the way that I command you, so that it may be well with you. Yet they did not obey or incline their ear, but in the stubbornness of their evil will, they walked in their own counsels and looked backwards rather than forwards. From the day that your ancestors came out of the land of Egypt until this day, I have persistently sent all my servants, the prophets, to them, day after day, yet they did not listen to me or pay attention, but they stiffened their necks. They did worse than their ancestors did. So you shall speak of all these words to them, and they will not listen to you. You shall call to them, but they will not answer you. You shall say to them, this is the nation that did not obey the voice of the Lord their God and did not accept discipline. Truth has perished. It is cut off from their lips. Cut off your hair and throw it away. Raise a lamentation on the bare heights, for the Lord has rejected and forsaken the generation that provoked his wrath. For the people of Judah had done evil in my sight, says the Lord. They have set their abominations in the house that is called by my name, defiling it. And they go on building the high place of Topheth, which is the valley of the son of Hinnom, to burn their sons and their daughters in the fire, which I did not command, nor did it come into my mind. Therefore, the days are surely coming, says the Lord, when it will no more be called Topheth or the valley of the son of Hinnom, but the valley of slaughter, for they will bury in Topheth until there is no more room. The corpses of this people will be food for the birds of the air and for the animals of the earth, and no one will frighten them away. And I will bring to an end the sound of mirth and gladness, the voice of the bride and the bridegroom in the cities of Judah and in the streets of Jerusalem, for the land shall become a waste. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. And our New Testament reading is taken from the Gospel of St. John's, chapter 6, verse 41 to 51.
Then the Jews began to complain about him because he said, I am the bread that came down from heaven. They were saying, "This is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? Can he say, I have come down from heaven?" Jesus answered them, "Do not complain among yourselves. No one can come to me unless drawn by the Father who sent me, and I will raise that person up on the last day. It is written in the prophets, and they shall all be taught by God. Everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me. Not that anyone has seen the Father except the one who is from God. He has seen the Father. Very truly, I tell you, whoever believes has eternal life. I am the bread of life. Your ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness and they died. This is the bread that comes down from heaven, so that one may eat it and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats this bread will live forever, and the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you so very much for that. Yeah, so bring your own reflection, reading those two passages. The key word for me was what sustains us. For those who do Lent, in the sense of maybe abstaining for something, lots of people chocolate, but some people do fastings. They might do once a week, or we have our Muslim friends at the moment who are doing Ramadan for 30 days. So they abstain from food and drinks from the sunrise and to the sunset. And abstaining from those things make us realize that how much we need water, how much we need food. If you've jumped a meal, you realize, you know, at least for me, I'm start shaking. And so food does sustain us. We need it to have the energy to go through the day, and water does sustain our very life. 3 or 4 days without waters can be deadly. So this passage is about not just about bread and sustaining physical, but it's about spiritual sustenance. What will sustain us spiritually? And the whole context for them was a story of the Old Testament, where they had in their minds that great story of God's deliverance from Egypt, taking the Israelites out of Egypt through the Jordan, and for 40 years sustaining them physically, but also through protections and through being there, through food that came from heaven, bread and quails. So they knew that story, and they knew that it was God's providence and God's sustaining them, and despite their disobedience, because that's why they were 40 years in the desert. And using that well-known stories, Jesus was drawing their attention to himself, to say, if you want eternal life or sustained life throughout your earthly life, but also beyond that, you need to believe in me. Anyone who believes in me has eternal life, or we could change that word with has sustaining life, has life in all its fullness, a life that will grow here on earth. It's not just waiting for the time we died to be in God's presence. God wants to give us life right now, sustaining life through that faith in Jesus, because faith in Jesus becomes a personal reality. God becomes personally real to us, sustaining us every day. Doesn't mean circumstances might change. The life might be as difficult, and sometimes even more difficult as a Christian, but we feel God's presence with us. We know that he is walking with us, giving us the strength, like bread would give us, or food would give us the strength, physical strength for the day. He gives us spiritual strength to live a life that's worth living. So he said, very truly, I tell you, whoever believes has eternal life, because I am the bread of life. Jesus is the one who can sustain our life, spiritual, our faith life. And it's not something we work hard on. God calls us. And that's the power of the good news in Jesus, is that somehow when we speak about Jesus around us, to our friends, God uses our words to bring them to him. No one comes to me unless drawn by the Father who sent me. And that's a great, for me, encouragement to be bold, and as a church to be bold in speaking Jesus. And to know that then it's not our job to convince. We use the best way we can to tell our story, and sometimes to use arguments, but at the end of the day, it is God's work in the hearts of others. It's been God's work in our own hearts to bring us about the discovery of who Jesus is, truly is, and that he is the one who can give us life, real life, sustaining life in on this side of the, I would say, on this side of the world, and on the other side, when God is calling us home. So that's my, I think, my encouragement for the day, that to know Jesus brings spiritual life and life in all its fullness. Something from those passages that jumped from you, for you?
I think that, I think it was Ed Hoskins said to us in one of his services about taking up something for Lent. It's not all about giving up. And I've heard of several people that start something, and I've made the conscious decision to make sure I do my 10,000 steps. I might get close and might not quite do it, but at least I'm doing more steps. So that has been good. And I just feel it doesn't just apply to Lent, but you know, we all do, I'm sure, but I especially, because I struggle in the winter, can drift away from the Lord, but I'm called back. Mm-hmm. And the difference of when I come back again, following his word, reading the Bible, it just puts me in a different place. And time again, I think, why did you go away? But, you know, I'm sure we all do, but say, absolutely. But, you know, this can be not just at Lent, but at any time of the year. That's all I want to say.
Thank you for that. Yeah.
Don't know that I've got a lot to add, except, Joycey, that I wrote down, don't give up. and I think that that's it. But the line that you drew our attention to has always been a bit of a challenge to me. No one can come to me unless drawn by the Father who sent me. And I will raise that person up on the last day. So that's quite a big sentence, isn't it? No one can come to me unless drawn by the Father who sent me. So I'm sort of trying to think myself back into the context of that day. Mm. I mean, we're Easter people. We know what happened after Good Friday. So, yeah, I'm quite like a sermon on that line, really. Mm-hmm. I know you made a mention of it. Is it because the Jews were worshipping the one God, so therefore they know the Father? So so in other words, the Jews that are already know God to be the one and only should be the very ones who recognize Jesus as being sent from God. I don't know. I think it's quite challenging, but it is so reassuring, isn't it? I am the bread of life. I was just I don't think I added anything to it.
No, you made a good point, because myself also, you know, this idea of God's sovereignty and human responsibility, and no one can comes to me unless drawn by the Father who sent me. It also jumped as I was thinking, is so what is my responsibility, our responsibility, and God's sovereignty, and that remains the mystery. It's both. Otherwise, it's not grace. If I earn something in my coming to Him, it's not grace.
Is it then? It's just thinking aloud. Is it that for people to be drawn to the Father is by seeing us live our lives in the Christian way? And so therefore that is it. They're drawn to find out who the Father is from how we walk our journey, you know, in the ordinary everyday, you know, way that we do. Is that what draws people who haven't met the Lord and basically don't see a need? Is that where people see the Father first, in which case our responsibility is even greater, isn't it? It's just no pressure.
I think though I've moved to Taunton and started at St James School, you know, that is our hall, when I was eight, and we went into the church for the services throughout the year, and that time it was like the two pulpits and all the rest of it, not like it is now in the pews. But as an 8-year-old and following through, I always felt there was something missing.
Yeah.
So, you know, I can see what you're saying, Lynn, about the responsibility and, you know, people seeing in us, well, what's different about them? But it makes me think, well, when I went into the services, I was thinking, sort of, I've not got this, you know, I you know, there's something missing.
Except, I mean, I went to Trinity School, so therefore, like you, I was trotted into Trinity Church. Bear in mind, I was brought up as a Baptist, but my mum wanted me to go to a Christian school, and so therefore we went to the Church of England. And it was very, very alien to me, but I appreciate now that it was just being surrounded. It's just been surrounded in that place of worship that was full of prayer, that must have been where the seeds were sown at 5 years old. You know?
Definitely. You've got the stained glass windows and all the art.
Yeah, that's it. You don't understand what's going on, and it's all way over your head, but something touches you. And I don't know. So it's a great mystery, isn't it?
I mean, like you said, also the context is the Jews complaining and complaining about Jesus and complaining about his teaching and what he was saying, and they were, you know, kind of very shocked, and to say, well, who are you if you say you come from heaven? You know, we know you have a mother and a father.
How can that be?
And Jesus was constantly challenging, saying, well, you say you know God, but actually you don't, because if you knew God, you would know me. You would know that I'm from God. So there was a lot about that context of the Jews struggling to acknowledge Jesus as the one they were waiting for, the rescuer, the Messiah. And so only God could open their eyes to that reality.
And even
Paul, who became the greatest apostles, needed a special revelation for his eyes to be opened.
I think I watched The Chosen. I mean, I know we're waiting for series 5, but I think they've done very well in interpreting Jesus through the eyes of the disciples. In the way that they're telling the story is so different, because it's from the eyes of the ordinary man, and their disbelief at certain things, and then their absolute wonder at, well, there's something different about this guy. And I think that sort of really brought it home to me. Their disbelief, and yet gradually they're coming to realize that Jesus was different. And of course, I mean, series 5 will be around the crucifixion, and of course all that that's going to bring, and we'll see the characters of Judas and see what the interpretation they make of Judas, because I've always felt a bit sorry for him, I must say.
Thank you. Well, let's pray that as a church we will be faithful in our witness, people of integrity, but also people of being authentic. God is a God who longs to call, like the picture of that shepherd who would leave the 99 just to find that lost one. That should be our passion. Without remaining in Jesus, we can't bear any fruits. But as we remained, you will make us fruitful. So let's pray for the day and its tasks, the world and its needs, and especially as we heard that dreadful fire that took place in
Macedonia.
Dreadful. And for the church, and especially as we Send our Bishop Ruth on her way to Liverpool. Let's pray for her. Let's give thanks for her ministry, nearly 10 years among this diocese, and for her great pastoral care and vision for the church.
For more Bible Bite podcasts, simply visit our website www.stjamestaunton.co.uk and click on resources. Thank you for listening, and may God be with you today.